From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, August 14th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Dempsey Challenge. Run, walk, or bike this September to help the Dempsey Center support those impacted by cancer. DempseyChallenge.org.
Two of the state's largest health insurers are planning to merge. Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare and Tufts Health Plan announced today they've signed a definitive agreement to form a single nonprofit insurer that would serve nearly 2.4 million customers in Maine and other New England states. A spokesman for Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey says her office has been in touch with both parties and plans to review the proposed transaction. Tuition at Maine's seven community colleges will not change for the coming school year. It'll remain at $94 a credit hour. Maine Community College System President David Daigler says for a full-time student taking 30 credits, the annual cost of tuition and fees will be about $3,620. That's the lowest in New England. Daigler says the colleges have learned from studies and from students themselves that they cannot afford to pay more for college.
There's a high price sensitivity, and our students need the education that they get from our colleges, and employers need a workforce with skills. It's unprecedented, the demand.
Daigler says by keeping tuition and fees low, Maine Community College graduates are able to enter the workforce or more easily afford a four-year degree without being saddled with large amounts of student debt. He says the system provides some financial aid to most of its students and that almost half receive enough financial aid to cover the cost of tuition and fees. And the state of Maine will be distributing about $3 million in settlement money stemming from the Volkswagen diesel emissions scandal. And this is not the first time Maine's distributed funds from that settlement.
In the first round, we awarded about, I think it was 29 new vehicles to various school districts and municipalities. And that amount added up to about $2.2 million.
That's David Gardner, director of the Environmental Office at the Maine Department of Transportation. He says the second round of funding is available to private businesses and government agencies that still are operating some types of vehicles, such as school buses, older than 2009. Other funding from the settlement has gone to the Maine DOT, supporting the Diesel Reduction Emission Act and electrical vehicle supply equipment through Efficiency Maine. Looking at the weather, tonight we'll have mostly clear skies with lows in the 40s and 50s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy in the north, partly sunny in the south, with highs in the 70s to the low 80s. On Friday, mostly cloudy statewide with showers and thunder inland, highs in the high 60s and 70s. And on Saturday, partly sunny with scattered showers and afternoon thunderstorms, humid Saturday with highs in the 70s. Talks are underway in Augusta about a possible special session of the legislature in the coming weeks. Governor Janet Mills and members of her cabinet are hoping to get multiple bond proposals to the voters in November and are negotiating with legislative leaders over how to make that happen. Mel Leary has more.
Governor Mills is on vacation, but her office confirms that she's been making phone calls seeking legislative support for a package of bonds. Transportation Commissioner Bruce Van Note, who has also been working the phones, says the bond funding is needed to draw down federal funds. He also warns of a significant cutback in planned road and bridge repairs for next spring and summer unless a bond question gets on the ballot.
In an average year, we would normally put out to bid to the contractors in the ballpark of $350 million worth of advertised work. That could easily be cut in half. Perhaps even more if there were no bond in November.
Several advocacy groups are also lobbying for a special session. Maria Fuentes with the Maine Better Transportation Association says the transportation bond would pay for more than roads and bridges, providing needed matching funds for port and airport improvements. Fuentes says the political reality is that the two parties need to compromise on bonds, as they have in the past.
We've been trying to reach out to legislators and leadership in the governor's office and with the hope that they'll come up with some type of a compromise.
Republican leaders say talks are underway, but they are taking a position that any bond proposals be voted on separately and not as part of one big package. Representative Kathleen Dillingham of Oxford, the House GOP floor leader, says she has polled her caucus and found consistent support for the transportation bond.
There may be individual support amongst my caucus, but there's nothing ranging in support and like there is for transportation.
Dillingham says whether there are enough Republican votes to approve other bond proposals will be up to individual members. She says some have expressed support for measures to fund the Land for Maine's Future program, investment in broadband and workforce development, but are being cautious to keep overall borrowing in check. Senator Jeff Timberlake of Turner, the assistant GOP Senate leader, says Republicans in both House and Senate agree that the bonds must be voted on separately.
There are some members that support LMF, there's some that support broadband, some that don't, and those that don't want to have to go on record voting for something they don't necessarily want to support. So I think there is a lot of good conversation going on.
No Democratic leaders were available to comment on the negotiations, but privately confirmed that talks are underway involving both parties and Governor Mills. DOT Commissioner Bruce Van Note, who's been involved in transportation bond discussions for more than 20 years, says he's optimistic that an agreement can be worked out.
Conversations are ongoing to narrow down the kinds of things that are going to be in going to be voted on, not just transportation. It's going to be broader than that. It always is.
If lawmakers are going to propose any bonds, they need to act this month in order to have enough time to print the ballots. There are also federal requirements that ballots be available to military members and other voters living overseas at least 45 days before the election. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Imagine it's 11:30 at night. You're winding down for bed or already under the covers, and it's silent except for the sound of waves lapping in the nearby harbor. Then you hear this. That's the sound of a plane flying over South Portland, where some people are pressuring the Federal Aviation Administration to change flight paths because of noise. The Portland International Jetport, which handles Maine's busiest passenger air traffic, was the target of more than 1,400 noise complaints last year. As Erwin Gratz reports, Jetport officials say they hope to make some changes to address the problem.
Engine noise is an old problem for the Jetport, particularly for residents who live beneath common flight paths.
My name is Tris Critchfield, and I live on Bay Road. These are regular commercial airlines that are so noisy, I actually have thought about wearing earplugs when I'm outside just to protect my already damaged hearing. I do think noise is a public health issue.
To minimize the impact on neighborhoods below, planes approaching Portland Jetport from the east fly over the entrance to Portland Harbor, turn left down the Four River, then veer right at the Casco Bay Bridge. But Jetport manager Paul Bradbury says this harbor visual approach can't be safely used at night when pilots can't see the landmarks. Enter NextGen, a federal program to modernize air traffic control. Bradbury says it would allow properly equipped aircraft to follow a similar harbor approach at night and reduce the noise heard in South Portland.
It can actually fly curves. So really interesting. It is the next level. This is part of the benefit of NextGen.
The drawback is that it takes time to make these changes, time to upgrade equipment and aircraft, time for FAA pilots to actually fly in a new procedure, then time for the airlines to train pilots in its use.
21% in July of the aircraft arriving at the Portland International Jetport for scheduled commercial traffic could fly a modern new RMP. We don't have one yet, so we're requesting the FAA, if possible, let's look at developing one that could work for Portland approach to 2-9.
29 is the runway pilots are headed for when they approach from the east.
I'd like to call this meeting to order.
At a meeting last June, an FAA official told South Portland's Noise Advisory Subcommittee that an RNP wouldn't work because so few planes are equipped for it and because it might require an additional waiver. While he did propose some lesser alternatives, it didn't really satisfy Bradbury or Maine Senator Susan Collins, who took up the issue with Carl Burleson, the FAA's acting deputy director, during a congressional subcommittee hearing July 31st.
I'm seeking from you a commitment to take a hard look at this and to consider working with the Portland Jet Board to get the RNP approach approved as quickly as possible. Or if that's not the right answer, help us come up with the right answer to deal with this noise problem for the residents of South Portland.
Senator, I'm glad to make that commitment.
NextGen's primary purpose is to make flying more efficient, saving flyers time, the airlines, the cost of fuel, and reducing pollution into the environment. It has done that, in part, by creating more direct routes into airports like Denver International, San Jose, Miami International, Baltimore, Washington, and Boston. And in every one of those places, the new approach routes have generated new noise complaints from residents previously unaffected. But Portland Jetport manager Paul Bradbury believes the change in Portland will help more than it hurts.
In a perfect world, all aircraft would arrive from the west over the less populated areas that are very rural and zoned appropriately, and they'd depart to the west. But when we have to depart or arrive from the east over South Portland and Portland, the idea there is, can we have a path that keeps it over the water and keeps the sound pressure levels off of the urban areas or the heavily developed areas?
Portland did achieve a breakthrough years ago, creating a protocol pilots follow when taking off to the east, so they largely stay over the water. The hope is that NextGen will improve night approaches and provide some relief for the residents of South Portland. Erwin Gratz, Maine Public Radio News.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation on elder care help for families, friends, and providers. I'm Nora Flaherty.